New legislation published yesterday would allow for adopted people to get access to their birth certs even if a parent indicates they don't wish to be identified. It's a change in the law that's been sought by adopted people in Ireland for decades. Bláthnaid Hurley was adopted from Bessborough, mother and baby home in County Cork. Last night she spoke to our reporter Joan O'Sullivan about what the possibility of finally getting access to her real birth certificate means to her.
I'm actually overwhelmed. I am in tears and I'm not normally a very emotional person, but I'm experiencing something that I never thought I would live to see. I never thought that I would get the right to have a birth certificate the same as most people that I know who live in this country have. I thought I would forever have a piece of paper that really doesn't tell the truth about me. It says I was born in Dublin and I wasn't. I was born in Cork, and there's lots of other inconsistencies in there. But the fact that I now have the same rights as everybody else is just, it's completely overwhelming.
Why is it so important to get a real birth certificate?
It's almost like a recognition that you're a real person, that you're a real citizen of this country, that you too can now stand up and hold your head high and have the same rights and prove who you are to everybody else. Because up until now, you only have the documentation that you've been allowed to have, and you don't know whether the information that's on those documents is true. I really thought at this stage in my life that I would never get to hold a birth certificate. And now I know there are a few more hoops and whatever for it to go through for the legislation to be passed. But for the first time ever in my life, there seems to be real hope that this is what's actually going to happen.
The legislation is also going to provide a pathway by which people may be able to get in contact with their relatives. What do you think about that?
I like the idea that the pathway is there for those who wish to go that way. But I also like the fact that there is a caveat in there that if somebody doesn't want to be traced for whatever reason, and it's their personal reason, I think they should have the right to be able to say that they want to hold on to their privacy and they don't want somebody unannounced turning up at their door. For me personally, that was never my main goal. If my mother is still alive and if she or any of my family are still there and wish to make contact or wish to be contacted by me, I would be more than happy to do that. But I would never impose myself into somebody else's life.
Bláthnaid Hurley talking to Joan O'Sullivan. Minister Roderick O'Gorman has called his new legislation a compassionate, fair and balanced solution to an historic wrong. Minister O'Gorman, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
A very emotional Bláthnaid Hurley there, really setting out what it means to her to finally get access to her identity. But we were told that it couldn't be done, that it wasn't legally possible. What's the way forward that you've found?
Well, I think just listening to Bláthnaid and I suppose the emotion that you can hear from her there, it does show for those of us who've had our birth certs all our life, I don't think we can understand the significance of being denied that. When I took on this role and when the Commission of Investigation reported in January, I made it clear that I wanted to secure full and unredacted access to birth certs and birth information for all adopted people, those who were boarded out, those who had their births illegally registered. And I said we'd look at GDPR and look at the impact the introduction in 2018 of GDPR had. I've worked very closely with the Attorney General on that. And the existence of GDPR and central to GDPR is this idea that a person has a right to information about their own identity. And that's allowed us to, I suppose, rebalance those rights, the rights of the adopted person, the rights of the natural mother. And I believe we've done that in a way that ensures adopted people get the information that we believe they're entitled to, but also provides protections to the privacy rights of natural mothers as well. And I think, as we heard from Bláthnaid, I think the vast majority of adoptees also wish to protect the privacy rights of their of their natural mother, okay, if that's the wish of their,
well,
their natural parents.
Well, take us through the steps here. First, on the part of adopted people, what information will they get? Will they have a right to get? And will they be getting the originals and not and copies of original papers and not an interpretation?
No,
of
absolutely
what was in that
not.
Paper.
No interpretation. They'll be provided with copies of the original documentation. As I say, nothing is being held back in this legislation. So it's the birth cert itself, it's birth information, which contains information that perhaps the natural father's name, which could have been on the birth cert but may not have been put on the birth cert. If that's in the file, that will be made available to them. It's care information, so for people who are boarded out, and I know Primetime did a programme on those a month or so ago, information about who they were in the care of, who put them in that care, the length of time they spent there. It also has early life information, so this often applies to people who are in institutions, so how long again were they there for? Did anybody visit them during that time? Any medical, vaccinations that were given to them during that period? And then medical information as well is provided under the legislation. And finally, if any mementos, if a letter or some object was left by a natural parent for an adopted person and that's on file, that will be made available as well.
It's all very harsh that this has been denied, but there's something very poignant about mementos maybe left by a birth mother or a father, which they've never had access to, that they might now be looking at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years later.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, that just reminds us of the very fraught history of adoption in this country and the incredibly difficult circumstances in which so many women gave their child up for adoption. And I suppose what we're trying to do, and I acknowledged yesterday, is that the state should have acted to provide this information years ago. And we have, I feel, failed as a state to do this. And we've let adopted people down by not doing this. And we're taking these steps now to provide adopted people with this vital information.
Does the state have access to all of the files, or will you still have to gather in or collect files from religious institutions?
The state doesn't have access to all files, and the protection of records is another central piece of this legislation. So under the legislation, I or future ministers will have the power to designate bodies, including private bodies, as information holders. And one of these designations will allow adopted people apply directly to these bodies for information. And we can also designate a body as a secondary information holder as well. And in that situation, we just place an obligation on them to protect the records that they have. But I've also said that I will be engaging with the religious congregations who ran the mother and baby institutions with a view to securing their records into state control.
Do you anticipate any difficulties in that regard, or would you use any compellability powers to get access to documents?
There are compellability powers under this legislation that we'll be passing. I'd hope that in recognition of, I suppose, reparation, recognition of trying to rebuild trust, just in the same way that the state is trying to rebuild trust now, I think these religious congregations have a similar duty, and I'd hope that they would see the provision of information as part of that.
Yeah, and what does your engagement with these institutions and religious organisations tell you? Does it tell you that they're going to cooperate?
Well,
or does it tell you that you may, and adopted people accessing their information might encounter difficulty?
Look, first of all, I wrote to all the religious congregations after the commission report came out indicating I wanted to discuss information, but also financial reparations as well. We made a decision not to meet with them until the interdepartmental group that is drawing together the redress scheme has reported and its work is well underway and should be completed soon. I would hope that we'll be able to do this through a negotiation, but I think it is important to say that we do have powers provided in
and
this legislation, if necessary. Yes, I think it is. It is absolutely important, because we've seen in all of this, information is key to what adopted people are looking for.
And I know adopted people have always wanted to create a separation, if you like, between their rights to their documents and then their birth parents' right to privacy. So what happens now when an adopted person wants access to information that a birth parent did not want to give, an identity they didn't want to be revealed?
Well, the legislation sets up a contact preference register where both adopted people and natural parents can register their preference. And if a natural parent registers a preference for contact or doesn't fill in the register at all the information will be immediately released to the adopted person once they apply. If the natural parent puts a no contact preference on the contact preference register, in that situation, the adopted person will undertake a information meeting with the social worker. And at that meeting, the natural parent's no contact preference will be conveyed to them. The importance of their parents' privacy rights will be discussed, and the importance of adhering to the no contact preference will be discussed. And after that, the full information will then be released to the adopted
person. But
there's
no penalty.
There's no penalty.
You're not criminalising this
in any way. And we made a conscious decision in previous legislation about maybe 20 years ago. There was a proposal in terms of a criminal sanction. I don't want to be criminalising adopted people.
Who's going to handle all of this, Minister?
This will be done through the Adoption Authority of Ireland and two SLES.
You know, there's a lack of trust between some of the agencies who have been actively, you know, fighting for this information for a long time, and TUSLA.
I do, and I think a major element of that was TUSLA social workers legally couldn't provide people with information. So people were meeting with social workers and being told, we have information, but we can't give it to you, or we can only give it to you redacted. That won't happen anymore under this legislation.
All right, Minister, a final brief and a very different question to you. Your Green Party colleague, Stephen Matthews, yesterday said he was disappointed by comments Taoiseach had made about the Glanbia cheese factory in County Kilkenny. The Taoiseach saying he hoped Antashka wouldn't appeal a decision on planning beyond the High Court. Stephen Matthews saying there shouldn't be any involvement of politicians in live planning matters. Do you agree with your colleague?
Well, look, I think Antashka has an important role in terms of the planning process. It's a statutory role and it's provided for in the law. And I think they've had a long track record over the years in securing compliance with environmental standards. And I think Antashka are best placed to decide if they appeal a court decision or not.
Is that a butt out, Taoiseach?
I think it's best for legal processes to play out. And I would generally say politicians should leave them to play out.
Minister Roderick O'Gorman, thank you for coming into us this morning. It's